Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor. Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Rolling up the scroll, he handed back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke highly of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, Is this not the son of Joseph? He said to them, Surely you will quote me this proverb, Physician, cure yourself, and say, Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum. And he said, Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. So none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
St. Paul is speaking about the reality of death for followers of Christ, death for Christians. St. Alphonse Liguori says the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. That's important. The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. I was writing a reflection today in Principle and Foundation from the exercises, and St. Ignatius in Principle and Foundation says it's not important long life or short life, health or sickness, honors over humiliation, riches over poverty. What's most important is to die in the state of grace. So I think never a day should go by in which we do not pray to die in the state of grace. I've already prepared myself to die today, already 90 times, yeah. I've already said almost two rosaries today, so every time you say the Hail Mary, you're preparing yourself to die, right? Because we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas says, love is willing the good of the other. Love is willing the good of the other. The summum bonum, as Thomas says in Latin, right? The willing the good of the other. What is the greatest good that you can will for another person? The salvation of his soul. The salvation of his soul. I often thought when you have big families, one of the best things that older siblings can do to others is to pray with them. Okay? For example, you got a little sister and you say, why don't we pray the rosary together? Let's pray the chaplet together. What could be greater than that? It's pretty rare that that happens, but that's the ideal. It should be. The older ones should try to get the other ones to pray, or maybe bring them to confession. Or if they can drive, bring them to daily mass. That's charity. And charity begins at home. So every day it's a good idea to pray for the grace of all graces to die in the state of grace. All right, the gospel today is interesting. So we finished Mark, we're moving to the gospel of Luke, so we're starting the public life of our Lord. And when our Lord gets up to preach at first, they're impressed. Then the Lord changes tone, and they're filled with fury against him. So much so that they want to push him off the brow of the hill. They want to kill him. How can we interpret that for us? 50 years ago, this country was basically a Christian country. Now it's neo-paganism. It really is. You were saying to me that New Hampshire is the second most secular state in the country, no? I wouldn't be surprised. Oregon is up there, too. Many other states are heading toward the precipice of paganism. What happens if you go to a cocktail party with some of your work associates and you talk about the document of Humana Vitae, Paul VI, no? Wow, bomb is going to drop. Or you talk about the whole topic of abortion, right? Some of your secular friends, bomb is going to drop, huh? Or you talk about traditional marriages, especially in California, right? Oh boy, you're asking for trouble, huh? You know, you speak out against euthanasia, no? And really, the church is about the only voice that's going to be defending all these moral imperatives. So if you are not, if you're not persecuted in one way or another, it's because you're really not living your faith. You know, there are eight beatitudes, right? Not platitudes, but beatitudes, right? So if you're living out the first seven, the gift is the last one, blessed are the persecuted, right? You're really living out the first seven, then the eighth is your recompense, your reward, no? But then Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So for every beatitude, there's a corresponding recompense for it. So that's a comment on the gospel today. And then Labor Day. Today is Labor Day. It's kind of ironic. It's a day that we don't work, right? I really believe in the human person, there are three areas that we have to labor on in ourselves. We have to work physically. We have to work intellectually. and we have to work spiritually. I think we have to kind of step back and see if we are developing ourselves physically, intellectually, as well as spiritually. Physically, it's important that we have some time every day, every week, to do some type of physical work. And I think the older we get, the more we have to have physical work. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Intellectually, even when we graduate from high school, maybe from college, we still have to work at developing our intellect. Because our intellect can become stagnant. We don't keep filling our mind with new and noble ideas. But the most important development should be working spiritually. Working spiritually. It's not easy. At your party yesterday, I was talking with someone. I was saying to some of the relatives that we have to have set times for prayer, not to just follow our feelings or emotions. No, we said set times for prayer when you get up in the morning. Pray your morning prayers. Pray the Angelus, maybe 12 noon. Pray the prayer before you have your meal. Find some time to pray the rosary. Do your daily examination of conscience. Say your night prayers. We should all have some type of structure in which we're saying our prayers, especially if you've got children. You know? Children are, you know, we're peoples of habit. You know, we're to form these good habits so that habit becomes second nature. So when you say work, usually people think about digging a hole or digging a ditch, you know, or cleaning out the garage. But it goes much more beyond that. Well, I'm going to say, I think the physical labor is the easiest. No, the intellectual and the spiritual is much more demanding. So the arch enemy to work would be that of laziness. No, let's pray that we don't give into laziness. Every Luke chapter 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Why did the rich man end up in the fiery pit? Not so much for what he did do, but for what he failed to do. That's called the sin of omission. And think if we examine our conscience, we probably commit many more sins of omission than of commission, other types of sin. So this is the motto of many of the saints. Maybe read the life of St. Peter Canisius, who's one of the Jesuit doctors of the church that lived at the same time of Bellarmine and Ignatius and Francis Xavier. Once he was working really hard, and someone said, "Slow down, you're working too hard." He said, "I have all eternity to rest. Now is the time to work. We can rest forever in heaven." Amen.